So then you may head on out to your time of Sunday school now and let's all be seated.
Would you open your Bibles, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15. For Mother's Day, we're in Matthew 15, and it's worked out perfectly, the Lord knows. We'll be dealing with the mother, the Syrophoenician woman, next week. Mother's desperate prayer for her child. The title of this morning's message is, It's a Matter of the Heart. Matthew 15, let's get straight to it. Let's read from verses 1 through to 20. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus. So this is a group. They've been sent from, this is a delegation that have come from Jerusalem. They arrive and they say in verse 2, why do your disciples transgress? Now notice this and underline this important word, the traditions of the elders. Traditions. For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. That is not just washing your hands like in hygiene. I'll explain what this is a little bit later. He answered and said to them, why do you also, Jesus went back, transgress the commandments of God? Jesus says, why do you transgress the commandments of God? Because of your tradition. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. As I was reading that, I was thinking, that's a very powerful statement read by Jesus, isn't it? Jesus doesn't say anywhere there when he reads that, oh, by the way, in today's time in which we live, that's not so. We don't say that anymore. Notice what this commandment has with it about dishonoring of parents. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites. That's what he says to them. Is the church full of hypocrites? Well, the world is too. Hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain or empty, they worship me. Teaching as this is what God says, the commandments of men. Note that too. Teaching as doctrines, oh, this is what the church needs to teach, the commandments of men. When he had called the multitude, so now he's really upset them. And now he talks to the crowd. When he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. This is important. Listen up, you blokes and ladies. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, and by this time Mark tells us they've moved to a house and Jesus is alone with his disciples. And hear what the disciples said. You know that the Pharisees were offended by what you said. You know you've upset them. You've upset them. And Jesus answered and said, every plant, this should take you back a couple of chapters in Matthew, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. Jesus said, are you still without understanding? Do you not understand that whatever enters into the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of your mouth come from your heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. You've heard some statements, maybe from people. You will hear them in your workplaces, in your schools. Well, God helps those that help themselves. Or cleanliness is next to godliness. Or money is the root of all evil. You would have heard that. Or the lion shall lay down with the lamb. You've heard that. Or God moves in mysterious ways. You've heard that. Or lastly, charity begins at home. Do you know none of those things are found in the Bible? Not one of those statements are from the Bible. They're all traditions that people say, oh, you know, charity begins at home. Money's the root of all evil. No, it's the Bible actually says the love of money. So there is so much that you and I bring when we come to church. We come from different backgrounds and we bring with us our clutter from our cultures, from our upbringings, from our families. We bring our pots and pans, our clutters, and we bring them in, and we come into church so often with all the junk that we've had. You know, today there's more than a feverish concern for how we look. Did any of you look in a mirror this morning? Not one of you. You should see the view from up here. There's a bit of egg just about there. I won't tell you who it is, but it's there. The University of Auckland did a recent study on reality TV programs, and how they focus now is on extreme weight loss and the drastic changes to a person's appearance with the final scenario of those programs. And it's been the driver of a dramatic increase in cosmetic and weight reduction surgery, according to the University of Auckland. One study showed that 4 out of 5 patients who were seeking first-time cosmetic surgery reported that they were influenced by plastic surgery, reality television. Dentists also reported that extreme makeover programs had recently increased the demand for cosmetic dental procedures. Last year alone, 14,000 Australians had lap band surgery. The way we size up people in regard to success. I saw so-and-so the other day. Oh, how are they doing? They're doing really good. And how do we tell the other person that we saw them on how they're doing really good? Oh, he was driving the latest Mercedes, or he was driving the latest Audi. Man, he's doing well. They live in Netherlands. The other ones, and but they're buying a house. They have a holiday house in City Beach. And the clothes, Armani. His shoes, Italy. Leather jacket from Florence, Salvation Army. I have 2 leather jackets, I must tell you. And they're from Salvation Army. In Porto Kennedy. They are very good. 20 denaro each. But that's how we say how well someone is doing by all they're going on. We do live in a world of keeping up on appearances. Do you know that you don't have to keep up appearances with God? In fact, you can't. He knows all about you. Psalm 139, we read this morning, before I'm going to sit down, he knows I'm going to sit down. Before I stand up, he knows before I'm going to stand up that I'm standing up. He knows all about you. It says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, verse 7, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. He's counted them, yes, but he's actually numbered each one of them. That's what it means in the Greek. Each hair has a number. Poor old angel that got that job. They got a hair in that. Another 14. Jesus, when he met Nathanael said to him, "How do you know about me?" Jesus replied, "I could see you under the fig tree before Philip found you." Because he had said, "Nathanael, a man in whom there is no guile." In our text, the repetition of one word tells us what our text is about. It's about our heart. It's in verse 8, it's in verse 18, and it's in verse 19. It's the matter of the heart. The matters of the heart matter. Jesus rips into the religious leaders in verse 7. He's heading to Jerusalem. He's heading to his crucifixion. He's putting the pressure on. This is a delegation out, and he's not taking any steps backwards. He's confronting now the religious leaders. He's heading towards his death, his crucifixion. In verse 9, he calls the religious leaders hypocrites. That's the Greek word. Hypocrites is the Greek term given for the actors in the old days who, when they would carry out a scene, they would have a piece of stick, and on that they would have a mask. Well, you see those in the old days. You see masks in certain drama. They usually have those masks of the smile and the happy face, as talking about drama, or is it used as a display for drama classes or art classes? Well, they actually use those masks, and each part they would play, they would hold the mask out of the part that they were playing. And they were called hypocrites. Jesus says, you guys are hypocrites. You're pretenders, actors. He said your religion, he said your worship is vain. He's not missing them. It's the Greek word maton. It means futile, folly, empty. What made Jesus speak in such powerful and corrective manner? Because the scribes had asked and came to him complaining, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? The New Living Translation puts it really well. Because they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Now the religious leaders were not speaking about physical hygiene, but an elaborate ceremonial washing that the Jews of the day strictly observed before each meal. The process, and it was written down, one had to pour, hold your hands together like that, 1.5 eggshells of water over the hands, that amount of water. And as the water began to run down your hands, it couldn't flow past your wrists. Then you had to change your hands so that the dripping would come down. Then another 1.5 eggshells of water were poured over you. Then you were to rub your right fist with your left palm and your left fist with your right palm, and then you're ceremonially, traditionally able to eat. When you travel to Israel, those who've been to Israel will know certain toilet situations that you go to, there's these little cans on a string, on a chain, where there's this elaborate washing of the hands occurs and goes on. It still happens. And so the accusations against the disciples were not that they were covetous, not that they were self-righteous, not that they were untruthful, not that they were uncharitable, but they had transgressed the traditions of the elders. That's not how we do things. In Romans chapter 14, verse 17, Paul writes, the kingdom of God, listen, you need to know this, is not a matter of what we eat or drink, because there's a massive focus in our world, and it's drifted into the church, of what we eat and drink. That's not the kingdom of God. Paul goes on to say, but it's of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. The Seventh-day Adventists, who have a whole system where they won't eat meat, and their basis on that is because, well, they don't think it's the right thing. From the book of Genesis, man just originally only ate seeds and grain, and then, you know, it wasn't ever meant to be, so they go back to that, and that's how they continue to do. And it's got nothing to do with that. The Bible, you remember when Peter was in Joppa, and he was at Simon the leather maker's house, Tanner's, and the house is still there. And Peter had that vision of all the animals and the food coming down, and God telling him, oh, you go and eat that. And he said, well, I ain't teaching that, you know, eating that because it's unclean. And then God says, hey, whatever I tell you is clean, you eat it. You can eat it. There was a change coming. beware of the danger of adding to the Word of God that which makes the Word of God of no effect. Because Jesus comes back at them powerfully about, not tradition, doesn't even deal with that. He says, I want to tell you about the commandments of God that you're breaking. Why do you transgress, verse 3, the commandments of God? Because of your traditions. For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me as a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. So here's the correction. What is Jesus saying? Jesus shifts the issue from the matter of tradition to the revealed Word of God. And he speaks to them of the fifth commandment. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord your God is giving to you. I used to say that to the boys as I held my fist under their chin. My dad used to say, smell that. I said, what's that, Dad? He says, that's the dead men who didn't do what I told them to do. It's a great way of raising children without fear or trepidation. No physical or mental scars on their lives whatsoever. You see, what was happening, these guys were so sleazy that instead of looking after mum and dad, their mum and dad in need or parents in need who were needing support, they said, oh, well, you know the money that I was going to give you, Dad, the money that I was going to give you, mum and dad, you know how you got nowhere to live. I really like to help you out, but you know, the money I got, I've actually dedicated that to God. It's the Lord's. You understand that, don't you? It's the Lord's. It's pretty holy. And you didn't even have to do anything with that money. You didn't have to give that to God at all. It was a tradition that made them even more selfish, not caring for their own. Mark uses the word korban, and it's the Greek word for gift. I've made all the money that I make in my work, I've gifted it to God. So, Mum and Dad, I know you're struggling and you're living in estate housing and you've got no heating or food. I'd really like to help you. You know how spiritual I am? I've got this all set aside. It's for God. It's for the Lord. And Jesus was angry. So angry. Because it was a tradition that they had created so that they could keep their own money and not have to worry about mum and dad. And so he quotes Isaiah 29:13. He says, you are near me with your mouth, you honor me with your lips, your heart is far from me. In vain you worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. What things happen in church and your kids, everything that happens in this place, in any church, your kids should be able to say, why do we do this? What's this bread and this cup? Why do we do that? And you should be able to go to the Bible and say, this is where it happens and this is why we do it. There should be nothing happen in here that is not found in the Bible. And it's amazing when I, as a minister, and I deal with religious ministers, I don't know half the stuff they're talking about. I've been to certain services where they've had communion and they ring bells and everything, and I go, what's the bell for? Is there someone, little bloke coming out from behind the thing, make way, bing, 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 you know, as they take, I shouldn't say that, but it's just, I go, what's the bell for? What's all the, this, what's, why does he kiss his ring? What's that for? Why has he got that huge robe and that great big thing, and what's that for? And I that troubled me, because I, as a young believer, as a kid, I wanted to know, God, is that what I'm supposed to do? I wanted to do the right thing. And so we have these traditions. Oh, that's just the way we do it here. That's how it happens. And you go, well, it should be able to be found and explained in here. Jesus said, you're just a show. He didn't miss them. You're pretenders. We used to have a term back in the 70s in the surf culture. We used a term in Australia called posers. They were guys that had surfboards on their cars that never, ever put them in the water. They dressed as surfers, got their hair bleached, dressed, you know, the gear that we... Not that we were dressing like everybody else. Surfers were supposed to be their own identity. So they all wore Levi's. All had, you know, flannel shirts. All had certain brands. No, we're not trying to be identifying. We're doing our own thing. It's the same today. Jesus says in Revelation 3:15, he says, I know your works to the church at Ephesus. To the church of Laodicea, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, Jesus says this, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Now, to the teenagers, if you really wanted to get a term, you could say, that is a sick verse. And it's really sick because it makes Jesus sick. Because you say, Jesus goes on to say, I am rich, have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. What they thought they were, and what Jesus says you really are. It was William Shakespeare who wrote, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. These men, the religious leaders, knew all about the kingdom of God. They had memorized their lines concerning it. Pharisees and Sadducees from Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, first five passages, knew the scriptures off by heart. They could recite first five books. They knew all the laws, traditions, but they knew nothing about true worship. They were complete strangers to it. They were acting a part, fooling people, but not the Lord. They were only concerned with keeping up appearances with the traditions of men, the external show, whilst God's truth is eternal and deals with matters of the heart. People play act with tradition because it pleases men. It gives them status. It camouflages the lies. You see, tradition deals with ritual while God's truth deals with reality. Tradition brings empty words to lying lips. Say three Hail Marys and four Our Fathers. But truth penetrates the heart and changes one life. You need to repent of your sin. Tradition robs you blind. See verse 14, blind leaders of the blind. And the wording there, the pit that they would be led into is actually the pit of hell. Israel Folau has put that on a web page on his Twitter, and he's been hauled up before the Australian Rugby Union Board. And I tell you what, I'm watching that very interestingly. I love the way the other islanders who have come out, the Polynesian players in the Australian Wallaby squad, have said, if he goes, we go. Why? Because Jesus Christ is their Lord and Savior. Would you do that? Would you risk your job? Would you? Israel Folau has copped so much flack. People at work, I hear him talking about it. Would you do that? Would you cop the flack, risk your job? You see, well, we don't have to worry about tradition today, do we? Not so. For as I sing with the worship team this morning, do I sing for a show? Or do I sing because the words come from my heart? Well, Keith, I play it safe and I don't sing at all. I don't want to be a hypocrite. John MacArthur says that the Lord's name is used in vain more within the church than in the world. Every Sunday. The word sing, by the way, is found 119 times throughout Scripture. And it's not a suggestion. It's a command. Psalm 30 verse 4, sing unto the Lord, all ye saints of his. Give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. 47:6, sing praises to God, sing praises unto unto our King. Sing praises. Psalm 92:1, a song for the Sabbath day. It is a good thing to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High. Psalm 98:4, make a joyful noise, that's me, unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Psalm 104, verse 33, I will sing unto the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praise to my God while I have my being. We had the complaint from the Pharisees, the Sadducees. We had the correction, as Jesus said, you're hypocrites. Now we have the concern. Jesus calls the people to come to him. And he says in verse 10, literally, listen carefully and pay attention. You need to know what's going on here, he says to the crowd. He says, you are not defiled, verse 11, by what you eat. You are defiled by what you say and what you do. It's very different. You see, God wants us, and I'm interested, I'm always hearing the word toxins come out. Oh, you know, if you do this, it gets rid of all the toxins. Give me a little bit of scientific proof that standing on my head in a yoga stance will get all the toxins out of my liver. Can you just show me where, if I do this, it gets all the toxins out of my liver? Can you show me the scientific research that actually tells me? Because everybody that's in some sort of way trying to make money says, it gets rid of all the toxins. You mean I'm that loaded with poison? Am I? Really? That's just the toxins. God wants us to give him our hearts and not just fake it with our lips and our traditions. We believe in our heart. Romans 10:9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That verse led me to Christ. That's the verse that someone showed me in the Bible that I didn't know was there. And that's how I became a Christian, through that verse. For with the heart, verse 10 goes on to say, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We love God from our heart. Matthew 22:37. Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. Jesus says, this is the first and great commandment. We sing to God from our heart. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We give to God. We don't take up an offering here because you can't take them off an offering. You can never take an offering. You only give an offering. I pray that you sincerely pray about your grace giving. 2 Corinthians 9:7. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's how you give. We obey God from our heart. Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Remember Pilate? He did some hand washing, didn't he? He says, I am innocent of this man's blood. And he washed his hands. But he was guilty. He was guilty in his condemnation of Jesus. For three times Pilate said, I find nothing wrong with this man. He is innocent. Three times. And his wife told him, he's a righteous man. He's an innocent man. Do you know that truth is mostly resented? Do you know why Israel Folau's words on his Twitter account have really got people angry? Because he's just come out and he's quoted Galatians where it talks about the word hell. And we in this world today, in church, or now I was up to with you today in the church, but now you've gone to say hell. I'm not really comfortable in this church now. Jesus spoke more of hell than he did of heaven. Because it's real. It's real. People go there. So what makes one unclean? It's what comes from the heart you speak with your mouth. If I'm with someone long enough, I'll hear who they are. Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We've had the complaint, we've had the correction, the concern, and the disciples come to Jesus with the caution. Jesus, oh, you have upset them no end. What's going on? And Jesus now gives the disciples a challenge. In verse 12, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. That word ditch, as I said before, is the pit. The disciples came to Jesus to tell him the Pharisees were offended by his teaching. Of course they're offended by his teaching. Why do people get angry with God when you say something but the Bible says, I don't want to hear what the Bible says. Do you know what the Bible says? It's like the dentist and he gets that little curly thing. Dentists have got to be savages, seriously. If you're a dentist here, you enjoy pain. This little needle that I'm going to put up here and come through the top of your head, it won't hurt. And before they do anything, to numb anything, they get a hook, like a fish hook. And I'm just going to play around in here and just see, you know what? Scrape. Is that hurt? No. Of course, if someone's got a fish hook fishing around in your mouth and scraping on stuff, and they go, does that hurt? No, you got tears come down your eyes. Grabbing all the chairs. No, I could take this. What is it with that little gizmo? I don't have to do that. I just like doing that. So I see you haven't paid your bill from last week. Self-righteous people are always offended when God touches on their sin. Or their inability to please God by their own efforts. Oh, who makes you holier than thou telling me about the Bible? It's on. Why the world is offended by Christianity? Saying to Helen, you know, we have a word, if you speak against homosexuality, you're a homophobic. We have a word that if you speak against Islam, you're a Islamophobic. I said to Helen, isn't it interesting that we don't have a word for speaking offense against Christianity? The Bible does. It's called persecution. Because that's the time in which we live. The moment you and I, from the moment the church was born and you became a Christian and everyone else who became a Christian since that time and today, it's going to be persecution. And the church in Australia right this moment is about to go over the edge into a place it's never been before, where you and I are going to be persecuted because we're followers of Christ. It's going to be the sorting out of the true and the fake. So what does Jesus do in response to his disciples' concern about appearances? He gets to the heart of the matter. He gives them even greater clarity in what he's saying. He says it's what comes out of the heart. And he actually details it. Those things which proceed, verse 18, out of the mouth come from the heart, they defile the man. Listen, for out of the heart, and he names the sins, evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. The fact that the Pharisees were offended is proof not only that they were false interpreters of the law, but they were outside of the kingdom altogether. This is what he meant in verse 13 by being pulled out of the roots. It's an application linked back to Matthew 13. Remember the sower, the seed, then the farmer who slept at night and seeds were sown in the dark, tares, the wheat and the tares. The tares will be separated in the last day and burned. Jesus speaks of two images in referring to these pretenders, these hypocrites. Seeds, plants, the Father has not sown. They pretend to be called of God, to be of God and to speak for God, but they are not. Jesus calls them blind guides, verse 14, aspiring to lead others, but the only outcome will be that they will both fall into the pit, the bottomless pit of hell. They were unclean because what came out of their mouths was unclean, and that was because their hearts were unclean. They weren't believers of God or followers of God. They were dressed in all the garb. They knew all the words. They could do all the acts, but their worship was in vain. Jesus even named the sins that he saw in each of their hearts. God is speaking to us today. And he asks you and I today, where is your heart? Yes, he knows where it is. But he comes to us and asks that your worship of him not be with just mouth and lips. Is your heart far from him? Jesus watches. Did you know he watches all that we do? I love watching our grandkids. I love watching them when they don't know I'm watching them. We had a birthday party yesterday and I sat there and I just watched all the kids go about, all the different personalities, watch what they do. It's hilarious. Jesus watched two men go to the temple to pray one day. One was a Pharisee. Oh, he had all the gear. Religious leader. Knew all the words. Biggest Bible. And one was a publican, a tax collector. Hear what Jesus said. Two men went to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other was a dishonest tax collector. That's what the world thought. The proud Pharisee stood by himself and prayed this prayer. I thank you, God, that I'm not a sinner like everyone else, especially like that tax collector over there. For I never cheat. I don't sin. I don't commit adultery. I fast twice a week. I give you a tenth of my income. But the tax collector stood at a distance and dared not even lift his eyes to heaven as he prayed. Instead, he beat his chest in sorrow, saying, Oh God, be merciful to me, for I am a sinner. Interesting, as Jesus tells us of these two men. And then Jesus says these words, I tell you, this sinner, not the Pharisee, returned home justified before God. Just as if he'd never sinned, justified before God. For the proud will be humbled, but the humble will be dishonored. Jesus watched as they gave at the temple, and outside the temple, there were these two great, like trumpets, like tubas. They look like tubas today, modern day tubas, but they were. And people would throw in their coins. And the Pharisees, remember, Jesus says earlier in Matthew, when the Pharisees would come, everybody, Pharisee Hillel is coming to give. They do all that. And then they come. Yeah, I got a fair bit of money here, boys. Check this out. Oh, man, look how much he's given. That's awesome. It says Jesus watched. Jesus watches as we give. Do you know that? He watches as we give. Jesus watched as people came to the temple to bring their offerings. While Jesus was in the temple, he watched the rich people putting their gifts into the collection box. Then a poor widow came by and dropped in two pennies. Jesus said, I assure you, this poor widow has given more than all the rest of them. For they have given a tiny part of their surplus. But she, poor as she is, has given everything she had. Keith, how do I keep my heart from the sin of traditions? How do I ensure that my walk before God is not one which I pretend so I don't deceive myself. David wrote in Psalm 119, the longest psalm, I have tried my best to find you. Don't let me wander from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Be in the word. The word hidden is the Hebrew word to hide, to treasure up. Your word I have treasured in my heart. Matthew 6:21, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will you be your heart also. As I talk to people, I soon find out where their treasure is. Because eventually we're going to get to where their treasure is as they're talking. Because they're going to talk to me about the thing over and over and over, whatever their passion, what they're doing through the week, what their thoughts are, what they're saving for, what they're planning for, what they're sacrificing for. That's what your treasure is. Where your treasure is, there will be your heart also. Where's your treasure? This morning, God has looked into your heart. He sees and knows all that there is. Where is your heart this morning? Are you here today because your heart longs to be here? Or is it, wish he'd hurry up because I've got things to do. And I've got to get out of here and he better shut up soon because I've got to go. I've got important things to do. Are you here today because your heart longs to be here to worship him with the family of sinners? That's what we are. That's what a church is. Who have been washed by his precious blood. That's why we had the table. We ate together as a family today at the table. Sinners can only come to that table. Good people can't come to that table. Did you sing because you've been overwhelmed by God's precious love? I hate it when worship leaders, and we don't have that here, praise the Lord, but when worship leaders crank people, let's get excited. Are you excited? Let's get excited. I don't need that. Jesus rose from the dead. I'm excited by that. I don't need to be cranked. Let's get that offering around again. Let's once more around the room. Let's just run those offering around. Come on, you need to give. Guilty. He's given, oh, gee, that's my money for coffee after that's gone in. Let's just do it one more time. That's not worship. It's tradition. And then it creates and throws off the commandments of God. Makes them of no effect. You sing because you're overwhelmed by God's precious love. Your heart is full of thanksgiving because you know that Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. I'm still connected to Easter. I told you I watched The Passion, and for this time I had to fast forward parts of it first time. And I've watched it since it came out. Because it hurt too much to watch. So I knew I was the purpose. I was the reason. And I also realized that my sin required his suffering. Because the wages of sin is death. How bad my sin is. You have clean hands. I do everything right. I'm in church twice a week, you know. Good Bible, I do that. I don't swear. I don't watch TV. I only watch black and white TV, actually. I only watch the ABC. How do you stand before God this morning? What is the sacrifice God asks each of us to bring to him? Oh, I knew he was going to get to money. Yeah, I knew all preachers get. They get to the money. No. What is the sacrifice God asks each of us to bring to him? This is what it says. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. A broken heart and a contrite spirit. Greg was in with us praying. Men, I want more men and join us for prayer service. But Greg prayed. I could hear in Greg's prayer He has a broken heart. He was a sinner saved by God's grace. Because he said, we're overwhelmed by your goodness. I need forgiveness for our sins. You need a new heart. Jesus died on the cross so that you might have forgiveness. He rose from the grave, ascended into heaven, so that the Holy Spirit could come and give you a new heart. Jesus said to Nicodemus, you can know all the rules and regulations, Nicodemus. You must be born again. You must be born again. Or are you here for the show? Church is not a show. Let us not worship Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, in vain, in futility. To the actors, the hypocrites in the church of Laodicea, Jesus offered them a chance to open their hearts and to have them fill them with his love. A chance to stop pretending. Are you pretending? Have you been pretending? To stop play acting. Oh yeah, I'm a Christian, but you're really not. You pretend, but you're not. You're far from him. Yeah, your lips, but your heart is far from him. Jesus said to that church, I advise you to buy gold from me. Gold that has been purified by fire, then you'll be rich. So buy white garments so you'll not be shamed by your nakedness. Buy ointment for your eyes so you'll be able to see. I am the one who corrects and disciplines everyone I love. Be diligent and turn from your indifference. He says, look, here I stand at the door and knock. If you hear me calling and open the door, and I will come in and we'll share a meal as friends. I want to ask as we close, finish it this way. Do you want a new heart? Or are you going to play pretend? Blessed are the pure in heart, Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount. Why? What was the promise? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. They shall see God. What is the sacrifice God asks us to bring him? It's a broken and a contrite heart. Maybe you've been running from God. Maybe today you've just popped in. Today's a good day to come and get connected again with he who died on the cross. So that you can go, you know what? I'm tired of pretending. Tired of playing. I want to be real. And you know what? God wants to be real in your life too. He wants to get in your life and change how you see the world. He wants to get in your life and point you in the direction that he has a plan and a purpose that is far beyond you can imagine. We have a little boy here for the first time, Ezra. God made him. But you know why he's made him? He made him so that he'll grow to worship the God who made him. That's the very purpose and will for little Ezra already. Where are you? Are you in God's plan? Today we'll have the pastors available at the front to pray with you. If you just would like prayer for any need, we're here to pray with you. Clean hands or a clean heart. Let's stand and worship the Lord.